They sent this water up here, but nobody's drank any of it, so I think before I start, I'm going to have a sip and clear my throat a little. First time I've been part of a birthing a church, what they call it, and I'm pretty proud of that fact, that what we're doing here today is organizing a church. That's a glorious thing. That's a part of the process that the Lord laid out in the beginning. I struggled a little bit trying to come up with a title for this message this morning. I don't know if you call it inspiration. I lack inspiration. You know, I feel like I like to be inspired that the Lord says, yes, this is what you need to say. And it came a little later this time than it normally does. And I was a bit worried about that. Lord, do I preach on this? Or do I preach on that? I was reading a passage in the Bible, and I finally got a little bit of inspiration. That I think the Lord would be satisfied if I preached on this subject. If I put a title on this message, I struggled even with the title. But if I were to title this message, it would be titled A Letter to the Church of Unity. Simply that. It would be a letter to the Church of Unity. I identify a lot with the Apostle Paul. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I identify with it. Paul said, for I'm the least of the apostles. Paul considered himself the least of the apostles because he had persecuted the church before he became a member of it, part of it, before he became an apostle. And when that conversion of Paul came, he scared people. People were afraid of the Apostle Paul. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. Because they feared him. Because the Jews had sent letters to him to persecute the church and to bring them back bound in Jerusalem, those that practiced and taught Christ. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But thank God he continued on and he said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. It's by God's grace we're here this morning. It's by God's grace that I'm able to stand before you, which I consider a great privilege. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are. Yeah. It's by the grace of God that we're a body of Christ.
Amen.
It's by the grace of God that you will be a body of Christ. It's all about the grace. A little bit of my history. Most of y'all may know that Reggie Moore was my stepfather. And I followed his ministry long before I became a member of this church. I came and cleared this land. I wasn't a member of this church, but I cleared this land for this church. I was a member of his church in Virginia. That's where I was called to preach at, under Brother Reggie's ministry. I set a light pole out here when this church was in a little shed building. This church licensed me to preach the gospel. This church has had some birth pains to get to where we are today. We've had some birth pains. There was a time not a couple years ago, I was contemplating the doors being shut because everybody was dying off. We lost Brother Reggie. We lost Brother Greg. We lost Brother Charles, and I mean in quick succession. So at that time, I became the interim pastor here. Even though I was not meet for it, I was not fit for it, but God said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I could stand up here and say, I've labored a lot for this church. But Paul said, yet not I. Yet not I, but by the grace of God, which was with me. It was the grace of God that enabled me to set that light pole. It was by the grace of God I was able to grade this lot. It was by the grace of God that I was allowed to join this church. By God's grace. I appreciate that message you gave us, brother. I mean, some of the points in there, right on the money, right on line. Brother Jackson, I've met Brother Jackson several times in my life. But I believe I've been up to your church once. Appreciate the message you gave. I couldn't find fault in any of it. I couldn't find no fault in it. But I think the message I'm going to give today to the letter to the Unity Baptist Church is just as important. And I hope that you listen. I hope that you hear the Word of God that I'm going to preach to you today. Paul went on to say, therefore, whether it was me or they, so we preach. The message is the same. And so ye believe. Paul preached it, others preached it, and they believed it. I want to start my sermon this morning in the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And I'm going to hit several verses. May I have to turn to them all? I'll tell you to turn to the one specifically I'd like you to see. I may just quote some to you. And if you can't tell, I'm nervous as a cat. Paul went before them churches. He was with great fear and trembling. Yeah. I know that. I identify with that. But it never stopped the message from getting through by the grace of God. Luke wrote, forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having the perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent. See, I have trouble with this name, Theophilus. Anybody want to correct that? Theophilus. Theophilus. I thought, who's that? Who's that guy? So I did a little word search on, and I was blessed to find out that the meaning of that word, the meaning of that name, is loved by God. You can say Paul was writing to his friend Theo, or he was writing to those that are loved by God. And I happen to believe it's both. Luke was writing to those that are loved by God. But Luke thought it wise, because he was there from the beginning, to write down the things that happened, the order they happened, and the significance of that order that they happened. And it's no surprise that you start reading the book of Luke, the first thing about that order is the birth of John the Baptist. The birth of John the Baptist. And it tells you through the lineage of David is where John the Baptist came from. Brother Luke said, it seemed good also, having a perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theodius, that thou mightest know a certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke wanted them to be certain of the things that they were instructed in.
Right.
He had to write it in order. He had to give you an order of instruction of those things that you believe. God's all about order. He's all about order. He said, let all things be done in order. He's not with confusion. If you go from that verse, that thou mightest know certainly of those things wherein thou hast been instructed, and you read on down and start reading again at verse 14, where the angel of the Lord speaking to Zacharias, and he told him, thou shalt have joy and gladness, as many shall rejoice at his birth. I believe there was some birthing pains going on back then. And I don't pretend to understand birthing pains, because that's beyond my capability. I've seen some births happen though. God bless you women. Where they're into such physical pain and anguish, and after it's all done, the joy comes and the heartful love. Don't know that I could do it. I don't know that it's in me. It's not in me. That's why God created the woman. The closest I can get is sending my son off to college when he turns 18. I mean, that's the closest relationship that I can find. But that angel told Zacharias, you're going to have some joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And I've watched this church have some birth pains. We speak about unity, which is the great thing. It's a great thing. But what we're supposed to be unified on is more important.
Amen. That's right.
What are we supposed to be unified on? Well, according to Luke, it starts with John the Baptist. The Lord called John the Baptist a prophet. Yea, more than a prophet. They asked him, what'd you go out there to see? A reed shaking in the wind? And I'm not giving John more glory than he needs, because the Lord also said he was the least in the kingdom of heaven. That the least in the kingdom of heaven is above him, to be more exact. The angel said, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Those people talk about the Holy Ghost being given at Pentecost. Well, the Apostle Luke said John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. They just don't understand the order. They don't understand the process that God chose. He chose to fill John with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, right after her birth and pains. Many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Elias. John went before the Lord in the spirit of Elias. There's the first step. There's the first link in the order. That's it. He went to turn their hearts of the fathers to the children in the disobedience to wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That's the order Luke was writing about. That's number one. We have a prophet. His name was John. God called him a Baptist. And that hurts a lot of folks' feelings. I hear the army, oh, there was no Baptist before 1800. Well, they forgot about John. They forgot that God called him a Baptist. God gave him that name. God filled him with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. Put that in. Don't forget that order. Over in Matthew 11, the Lord talks about John. And the Lord said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. John first, Christ the second. In the order. We're gonna pinpoint that a little better in just a minute. The Lord said of John, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. That the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That tells me something's missing with John. There was something that folks in the kingdom of heaven had that John doesn't have. I can find nowhere in the scripture where John was baptized. He was the baptizer, not the baptizee. I say, if you've been baptized here in the form that the Lord ordained, you're greater than John the Baptist, according to what the scripture says. Because you've had it, the order, the process. And if you don't agree with that, I mean, I'll meet you after church. We can talk about it. We can have some unity. John needed to be baptized. He admitted it. When the Lord came to him, he told the Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord told him, suffer it to be so now, for it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. It was for both of them, John and the Lord. It was for both of them to fulfill all righteousness. John had to baptize, the Lord had to be baptized. One had to do it, one had to accept it. And then the Lord says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Ponder that for just a second. That the violent take it by force. Who's the violent? There's a long list. Started with the Jews. Then it moved on. To Catholics. Let's call them Rome. I have some good Catholic friends in my personal life, you know. And I don't want to destroy them. But I can't go around and say you've got a good religion. You've got a state religion if you're a Catholic. Your religion is founded on the state, on the government. It's not on Christ. It's not on John the Baptist. It's one of those counterfeits that my brother was talking about. Listen, even the Protestants can be in that category of the violent. They take it by force. They don't care what the congregation says. Most of these Protestant churches don't elect their preachers. They're appointed by the church hierarchy, or the church council, or the church convention. You may not know who your preacher is next year. And then the government. Just recently, as 1 year ago, the government says, you're not allowed to attend church because there's a virus in the land. And if you dare do it, we'll arrest you. We'll shut you down. Well, I'm here to report this morning, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church not missed one service over any virus on the land. Amen. The government has no authority in this place, in this assembly. And I hear so many preachers, oh, we have to be obedient to what the government tells us. Somebody I admire, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Mr. Wretched Radio. I admired that man. Until he went down that Romans, I believe it's Romans 13, that we have to be obedient. He's not reading it right. It's one of them verses that Brother Paul said, out of context. Who don't get me started now? Don't get me started on the politics of it all. Don't. The Lord continued, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And he finished that thought with, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, for which was to come, John the Baptist. So Paul's laid out, Luke has laid out an order there. Repent and be baptized. I covered that Jesus baptism already. But I did not tell you that when Jesus was baptized, he went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Most people think of a dove like, it's floating, it's coming on down. If you ever hunt a dove, you'll know that they come in like a rocket. They come in like lightning bolt and land. The Spirit descended on Jesus immediately after his baptism, and the Lord God spoke in an audible voice so everybody there could hear it. And he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus Christ. When Jesus first appeared to John, John said, lo, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. Self-evident what the Lord was. I can't find another place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where God spoke audibly. Except for at the baptism of Jesus Christ. It says he spoke to Paul, but I don't know that those around him could hear it. But in this case, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." John the Baptist said, "This is the Lamb of God. This is it."
Amen.
That's the order. We're progressing in the order that Luke thought they needed to know. So they would know how to believe. They would know what they were instructed in. What's the next thing to happen in the order? In the Luke? Jesus started calling his disciples. "Follow me, follow me, follow me." And they went right down the creek bank and they started to baptize. Jesus didn't baptize himself, but his disciples did. You see the transfer of authority there. You can see it. The Lord's the head of the church, but you got to do the baptizing. Luke talks many times about and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on Jesus Christ at his baptism, and he was full of the Holy Ghost throughout his whole ministry. John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So we see an order there beginning to take shape. We're seeing baptism by repentance. We're seeing God speaking in an audible voice. And we see in the book of Luke, when he commissioned the Lord's Supper, one of the few times he said, this do. Repent, be baptized, and do this. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." That word likewise means this do also. Likewise, this do. So we're seeing three major points here. We're seeing repentance. We're seeing baptism. We're seeing the Lord's Supper. He commanded us to do this. The commission. Go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Commandment of the Lord. As far as this church goes, there's only two ordinances. And that's baptism and the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
That's just two. It's a sad fact today, though, that a lot of our churches have those two ordinances and then they have a list of bylaws this long.
Great.
List of bylaws. Hadn't been able to find those bylaws in the book of Luke.
Right.
I mean, he wrote about the importance of me writing this down so you'll know what you're being instructed in. Time's coming, brother. There's going to be a bylaw written that says you can't come to our church if you ain't got the vaccination. It's happening now. God forbid that we bar the door from somebody that hadn't got a shot because the government said to get it. But you know, there are men that'll say, oh, that's a righteous thing, and we ought to defend that because of what the book of Romans tells us, that we got to do everything the government says to do. And violently take it by force. Oh, the book of John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, what else? What else? Is there more than his word that's truth? He didn't write it down. It's sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Everything you need to know to run a New Testament church is contained right here in this book, in the New Testament. Everything you need to know how to operate is written here. And if it's not written in there, you better not be doing it.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit where... And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
I know the Spirit of the Lord was with John from his mother's womb. The Spirit of God was with Jesus from his baptism. Then comes the day of Pentecost. And if you look, you'll see that progression of the Holy Ghost as it progresses from John, as it progresses from Jesus, as it progresses, and the authority is given on the day of Pentecost to his church, which, by the way, was already in existence.
Amen.
I'm no scholar, but if I had to give it a date when the church began, I would think it was when John the Baptist dumped our Lord under that water and the Holy Ghost came down on him and said, this is my Son in whom I will believe. This is him. That's where I pinpoint the beginning of the church. Right there. The congregation of God, the body of believers, is totally autonomous. That Spirit fell on how many? 3,000 people there that day on Pentecost. And he's with you too. You don't need the pastor's permission to pray. You've got the Holy Ghost. We don't need another church's permission. Listen, we don't need another church's permission to organize a church. Because God laid out in his word how it's done, the order it's to take place, what we're to do, the points and the doctrines that it's done by. It's all there. Autonomous. Having the freedom to govern itself or control its own affairs. Say we were to license somebody to preach and we had a visiting preacher in here. And we took a vote on it and licensed this young man to preach. And he may have been sort of like me, you know, not keen on speech. Not very couth. And this visiting preacher said, oh, I don't think this guy has what it takes to preach. Well, that's all fine. You have your opinion. But you don't have any authority here.
Amen.
You do not have the authority. One church does not have the authority over another church. There is no council. There is no convention. It's the body, the believers, and the head. It's Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Ghost, he deals with each one of us individually. I tell that preacher, thank you, brother. We got it. Don't worry about a thing. The vote's been taken. All these spirit-filled believers here, God dealt with each one of them individually. They went through their head, Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, he makes it so. Old Brother James said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion's in vain. Brother James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. He left out a part about if you miss Sunday school, you're out. He left that part out, you know. He left the part about if you don't shake the preacher's hands, you got to go. It's the honest truth, brother. The church is becoming so legalistic. They got to have a list of bylaws so long. And if you step out of line, you're out. God forbid it. I enjoyed Brother Paul when he said he had to rebuke somebody. Yes, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Don't forget about the long suffering. Don't forget about the doctrine. If you have a disagreement in here, you better have some doctrine to back your side up. You better have some doctrine that says God chose us before the foundation of the world. It better be plainly written in here. It's not written here, oh, he didn't shake the preacher's hand, he's got to go. It's not in there. That's not long suffering. That's evil.
Amen.
That's the opposite of unity. Listen, brother, God defines religion as looking after the widows and the orphans and not getting out there in that world and spotting yourself up.
Amen.
You're going to find out a shower ain't going to wash it off.
That's right.
It puts a spot on you, and I've got plenty of them, and they don't wash off in the shower, brother. They stick with you. That's why I can say like Paul, I'm not meek to be an apostle. But I am by what I am by the grace of God. I'm telling you, I'm warning you these things so that you don't follow the same path that I followed. But that you follow the path that's written by the apostle Luke, that you got to do these things in this order. I'm about two-thirds done. I'm about two-thirds of the way there. The book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 19 through 21 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God." That's why that Holy Ghost fell on all 3,000 of them there. It didn't leave nobody out. We're all fellow citizens with the saints. We're all of the household of God. Verse 20. I mean, if you don't get anything, if you don't hear any other word I say today, verse 20, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." That baptism don't do you a good bit of good without Jesus Christ. You can say you have the Holy Spirit all day long, but if Jesus ain't there, you ain't got it. He's the chief cornerstone. He ties all the doctrines together. Without Him, it's all null and void. Jesus Christ, the chief head cornerstone. He's what we need. I'm like Paul. Lord, I need you. I need to be baptized by you. Amen. I do. Verse 21. "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple of the Lord." You know, a lot of people accuse us of being a cult. Y'all are a cult. Because why, we believe these things? Hey, listen. Let me tell you the difference between us and a cult. A cult, it's very easy to get into. But it's very hard to get out of.
That's right.
Hey, listen. We're not a cult. We're not easy to get into. You got to follow the order. There's a process that God laid down to get into this assembly. Repentance, baptism, built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to get out if you want out. I don't want you to leave. We're not going to condemn anybody for leaving. I think a lot of times in the church, some of these legalistic churches, they're going to hang a yoke around it. Whoever's excluded, they're going to hang a yoke around that neck where they can't move and they're bound up. You'll not do anything else with the Lord until you get right with me. And I think we often forget that we're not in charge of that relationship. If anybody leaves here, they leave. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. It's easy to leave this place. Not a cult. That Church of Scientology, they'll chase you down, hound, and ruin your life if you leave their assembly. You don't get out of it. Follows you your whole life. If we had to exclude somebody here, and I've been excluded from this church, I know. Nobody chase me down, pound me. Listen, when you're excluded from a church, you basically lose your right to vote. You're no longer a voice in the assembly. May God bless you on, continue on. But I've been excluded from the church. And nobody hang a yoke around my neck and said, "You can no longer contact God because you're estranged with the church." No, that's when God really dealt with me, when I was estranged from the church. That's when he really showed me I was out of line. And when I came back, nobody said, "Oh, Brother Craig back. Yeah, don't know about him." Hey, listen. The Holy Ghost will never cause you to plot the downfall of others. Never. And if you're sitting here plotting, say we're going to exclude him and he's not going to have any church life the rest of his life, the Holy Ghost ain't in it. It's not there. Listen, them Jews knew how to do it. They bound on the backs of men burdens that were heavy to be carried that they wouldn't touch with their old little finger. That's the idea of that attitude. It's our way or the highway. No, it's this way or the highway. It's God's way or the highway. Not Craig's way, not Brother David's way, not Paul Jackson's way. God's way. God laid it out plainly. We're starting with repentance. We're going to be baptized. The Lord's going to be the head. I'm going to give each one and every one of you individuals my Holy Ghost so you know how to operate in the church. Second Corinthians chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. But we all know there was some trouble in the church of Corinth. They had some pains. It went on there. And the Apostle Paul wrote to them. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? And I had to dig in deep to find out what all that meant. It took me a few minutes to figure it out. I had to turn to some of our forefathers who had commentaries on this issue. And it's undoubtedly the letters were flying at the church of Corinth. The letters were flying. And Paul tells them, I don't need a letter of commendation from you. You don't need a letter one from me. And what's important about that is verse 2, he says, "Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Look, the simple truth is, all men are looking at you. And they'll read you like a book.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul said he didn't need the commendation letter because the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you pray, the way you attend church, that's an epistle in itself. Paul says, "You're my epistles." Am I walking all over your sermon, brother? I feel like I am, but Paul said, "Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For so much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us." Tell this new church, you're an epistle of Christ under your own. You're ministered by us, but you're on your own. I'm that father that's sending his 18-year-old. He's a man now. I can only guide him. I can give him advice. But it's all up to him. What happens next? Paul told him that this epistle is not written with ink. But with the Spirit of the living God, it's the Spirit. There we go right back to that Spirit. The same Spirit that John had. The same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus. The same Spirit that was dropped on Pentecost. That's the Spirit. That's the epistle. It's not written in tables of stone, but it's written in fleshly tables of the heart. I'd have a hard time excluding somebody for not shaking the preacher's hand. It's just not in me. It's not in me. Because it's written in the fleshly table of my heart that, yeah, I'm supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort, but with all long suffering and doctrine. I got some doctrine to back up what I'm saying. Paul said, "We have such trust have we through Christ to Godward, that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." We find our sufficiency through God, not through Craig, not through David, but God. And if you don't know, Jesus Christ is God. He's the one that makes us sufficient. And Paul goes on down and ends up, "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." I really like about the building being fitly put together. The light is not the window. The light's not the window. And the window is not the light. But the light shines through that window. That window is there to let the light in, to let the light out. They have different offices, but the purpose is the same. To let the light in, to let the light out, to turn the light on. Find some unity in that message right there. Fitly joined together. They work together. Spread the light. For the ministry, the ministration of condemnation be glory. And truly, that's talking about the law. The Ten Commandments. You know, the letter killeth. Did you know that? Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for us in Christ. No condemnation. First Corinthians 6:3 says, "Know ye not that you're going to judge angels?" How much more the things that pertain to this life? How are you going to make your judgments? Have you got a guide? Have you got some order that you go by? Or are you just going to make up your own mind? I'm glad I don't follow my own, in the operation of this church, my own thinking. I have a guide. Luke laid it out for me. He said he had to write this so you know, you'll be sure and watch your instructed. He even went on to say, "For then if you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge that are least esteemed in the church." Y'all really don't want me judging you, do you? I mean, you can't figure it out. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus' blood that bought you into His kingdom. Paul was making fun of them there. There's nothing wrong with the least esteemed judging either, because the servant is actually the head. Christ is our servant. He served us. He served us to supper. He served us to baptism. He served us. He washed our feet.
So if you have judgments pertaining to things in this life, that's not talking about church doctrine. That's talking about, you know, do we pay this guy or that guy? Hey, listen, there were some birth and pains here over this issue. If you think everybody was of one mind, they weren't. My wife had a different opinion than I had. Some thought we should have waited. Some thought we should have did it sooner. But these are things that pertain to this life, that not pertain to the doctrines of the church. Nobody scratched each other's eyes out because they didn't get their way. The vote was taken. The vote was unanimous. The vote was unanimous. Although there was a difference of opinion of how it should operate, this thing pertaining to our life, we were able, through God, through unity, to work it out, to figure it out, to get it done, to do what God wanted us to do. Y'all, I'd probably disagree with a lot of things on y'all if you sit down and, you know, really hash through it. But I've been here how many years now? Even with my style and my differences of opinion. Unity. And I'm on the last page and there's only one verse on there. Paul said, I speak to your shame. So is it that there's not one wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. Listen, it's that same church of Corinthians. They was taking each other to the court. Brother against brother. And that in the government, in the secular courts. Wouldn't it be better just to take the loss? Really, the only thing being excluded does exclude you from the assembly. Yeah, you can exclude somebody. They can still come visit. You going to stand at the door and block their way? No, we're not. So, after today, y'all are on your own. You are. We may be able to advise you on some stuff. We may be able to show you some doctrine and some scriptures. But it's between you and God how you work it out. I don't know if this quote came from Brother Reggie or he got it from somewhere else, but it used to bless my heart. He used to say, it's better to be divided by the truth than united in error.
Amen.
Better to be divided by that truth than united in error.
Amen.
So if I had one thing to say to the Baptist Church, unity, that these things are paramount. Salvation is by the grace of God. By faith through blood. Baptism. Repentance. The Lord's Supper. The doctrines of grace according to His Word. And long-suffering. If you have those things, you have all you're very well equipped to go on. Don't forget those things. Take those things to heart. And your church will grow too. Never forget the Church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelations. God said they were weak. Weak. They kept His word of truth. They kept the word of truth. In their weakness, they held on to it. And that's my friends, if you think about being the bride of Christ, look there. Look there. And with that, Brother David, I am done. I am finished. I appreciate your attention. I hope I didn't put you to sleep. And I pray for y'all every day.